Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. I am going to preach to me. So, what I'm saying about, I'm going to tell you what I believe my responsibility is as your pastor. So I'm going to preach to me. I'm going to tell me what my responsibility is. I'm going to tell it to me, kind of on tape, so that you have a record that I said I am supposed to be this guy. So you can hold me accountable. You know, I'm not scared by that. God did that. You know, God spoke all of His promises, and He's accountable for His promises. It's okay for you to say, God, You said in Your Word that this is how this works. Explain to me why it's not. And so I'm going to be like God, and I'm going to tell you what I believe that my responsibility is as your pastor, and I want to be held accountable for that. And I want you to know that this is going to be something that I have been, and I'm going to continue to be incredibly diligent about. And so the first example, and these are scriptures. These are part of my life verses. I tell you guys all the time about my life verses. Almost every night of my life, I lay in bed and I read my life verses because I always want to make sure that I fall asleep thinking about who I am, who God created me to be, what I'm created to do. And then I always ask God, please give me visions or dreams, anything you want to have, revelations, heavy revies, anything you want to give me over the nighttime hours. I'll be willing to receive that. If I don't get none of it, I'm sorry, I'm dense, and I'll wake up and You'll have grace for me, and we'll go on about the next night. And so almost every night of my life, I read my life verses, or I read at least a life verse and meditate on it for a half hour, about who I am, what I'm called to do, what God has done in my life. And I encourage you to get your life verses and to go through them on a regular basis so that you know who you are, what you're called to do, where you're called to do it. Your destiny has three parts: what you're called to do, where you're called to do it, and with whom you're called to do it with. God has blessed me beyond measure because what I'm called to do is to love y'all. That's easy. I'm called to do it right here, PC, Lena, the Freeport area, Freeport region, and I'm called to do it with y'all. Amen. My destiny is you. That's a blessing. Amen. If you don't know what your destiny is, you are missing one of the biggest blessings of your life. Amen. All right, so the first one, I'm going to go at kind of New Testament because things were designed differently in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but the New Testament gives us kind of more of the purpose, whereas the Old Testament gives us more of the instruction. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured. That word assured is pistou, which I've preached on pisteo, pistis, all these. They're different, pitho. They're all different versions of the word that we translate into faith or trust. So faith and trust, they're all in the same root word that comes from trust. So when you say that I have faith in God, what you're actually saying is I trust God that He's going to do this. And so this is actually another derivative of that word. And so it's talking about a trust towards God. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured. You trust in these things because you know that they're truth. And let me encourage you on that. You need to know that you know some things. It might be five, and that's cool. But there should be things that are in your life that are totally unwavering, that you are absolutely committed to, that these are the truths of my life. I don't have a bunch of them. In fact, sometimes the way it relates in the kingdom of God, less is better. Jesus, don't you know that Jesus probably had the ability to have 100 disciples? Or 1,000? I mean, he's God. He could have ministered intimately to 1,000 guys. He wanted quality, not quantity. God is a quality, not quantity God. If you, I would rather have you have one real, sincere, life-changing, never-be-the-same revelation than have 50 regurgitated revelations from me. Does that make sense? Amen. Totally could go a long time on that. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue. That's important too, because some people just kind of get on something for a minute and then there's something else that comes along that's cool in the body of Christ, something new, glitzy and glamorous, and hey, we're going to go this way. I know Dennis and I talked about that a long time. There's been so many like ebbs and flows in the body of Christ over the last 30 years that you just like, you know, one day it's laughing, and then the next day it's passing out in the spirit, and then people looking for gold dust and Shekinah glory clouds, and there's all these fads that kind of roll through the, and the whole time, all of these things were just God basically being gracious with us, saying, hey, I'm here. We can totally be intimate. If you need to giggle, I'll let you giggle. I mean, it's not a big deal. But we can be intimate, whatever you need to be intimate with, we're cool with that. So anyway, continue in the things that God has really placed in your heart. And so I'm preaching this to me, so I am determined to continue what I know to be the truth. The truth is that I believe one of the core values of my life is that, and I, everybody in here is probably, for the most part, nearly everybody in here has either had me say this to you in a personal setting, or had me text this to you, or have had me pray this over you, that love never fails. Every single one of you, especially like in dire situations, when you just think that everything was falling apart in your life and you came and you've been counseled by me, or I've talked to you on the phone, or I've texted you or something. Everybody in here most likely has probably heard me tell you, love never fails. If you operate from love, it will never fail you. This is one of the things that I'm going to continue in. I believe that the success of what Beloved Church is called to do, my personal success and your success, will be in my ability to live from and to teach the never failing love of God. Hold me accountable. Hold me accountable. If you ever hear a sermon and it sounds legalistic and I'm all up in your beeswax and there was no love that was attached to that, I encourage you to come and either you didn't hear it right, because, I mean, that happens. Because I had a gal on Facebook accuse me of saying that there's no hell and that everybody's saved. I'm like, dear Jesus, what sermon did you hear? And which 30 seconds did you listen? It will be infused in every message that I preach for the rest of my life. I believe that love never fails. If I can convince you of the love of God, I can give you the silver bullet of a successful life that you will never, ever, ever have anything that puts you down for the count. If I can convince you of the love of God. Now, a lot of people don't want to be convinced of the love of God. And a lot of other people think that what they're experiencing is love. And so it is a hard road to hoe, but I'm going to be here the rest of my life. I'm going to outlive a bunch of y'all. Amen. And don't get high and mighty, youth, because I've got a lot of strength in me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There are people in my life. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was like one of Paul's spiritual sons. Paul told Timothy, the reason that you need to be assured, the reason you need to have a lot of faith, and the reason you need to continue in this is because I taught you these things. You know, isn't that arrogant? Who does Paul think he is? You know, the reason that Paul was so convinced that he could make those kind of statements to Timothy, he made them to the churches when he wrote them, is because Paul really did not believe that he was ministering from himself. And so when he said, follow me as I follow the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not Paul being arrogant. And I can tell you this. Follow me as I follow the Lord. And if I come to you and I say, hey, there's something that you might be, in my opinion, doing wrong, and I feel like it's appropriate for me to maybe adjust your direction or correct you, and I'm going to get into that word. A lot of people don't understand what the word correction means. But if there's something that I come to you, and I'm probably going to come to you and say, have you ever seen me do that? Have you ever heard me say that? The reason that I'm going to correct that is because I've lived a life, I've been in ministry long enough to know that there are successful ways to talk and to act and to walk. And that's what I strive to do. And so I'm not going to, if you're doing something, you say, well, I got this great revelation from preacher so-and-so over here on this, and it's really not appropriate for your life and for you, I might come to you and say, have you ever seen that come from me? You know, I have a responsibility as your shepherd. You're in the fold. You're God's sheep, but you're in my pasture. I got a responsibility to this pasture. God owned you. I don't own nobody. But I have a responsibility to you to make sure that you're fed, that you're watered, that you got places to sleep, that you're healthy. You know, the other minister that's on TV and YouTube and everywhere else, they don't have that responsibility to you. I want you to be successful. I want you to have the greatest life ever. And so if I come to you and say, hey, this is great, keep doing that, you're like, yeah, my pastor loves me. And I say, hey, this is probably not a good idea, and you need to stop doing that. Well, just who do you think you are? You know, if God came to you and said, hey, son, daughter, please adjust this, you wouldn't say, well, who do you think you are, God? I mean, you know, entity that's talking to me. You wouldn't do that. Now, there aren't a lot of you in here that I've ever came to you and I was like, hey, whoa, hey. Because I believe that if we continue to operate from love, we continue to operate from grace and mercy, you'll get it. I mean, you'll just get it. It'll come naturally to you. If somebody's got to correct you all the time, man, you need an overhaul. No, seriously. If every time you go and see a preacher or a pastor or a minister or somebody preaching, if every single time you're just like, oh my God, everything in my life is a, you know, we need to just lay hands on you one time and get you a fresh start. Correction should not be a normal way of me having to spend a daily, weekly relationship with somebody. If God's got to come to me and correct me like every time we talk, how messed up am I? If that's every conversation, every time God and I get together, is Him correcting me, I need to really reconsider what I consider to be Christianity. But God doesn't do that. God is gracious. God is love. He's going to come to you from a relational aspect, and that's my intentions. My intentions are to come to you from a relational aspect. Hold me accountable. I don't want to come to you and correct you. But I will because I love you. If you're standing in the street about to get hit by a Mack truck, I might yell. And after you get over being hurt and being offended by me, and you come back and you find out that the Mack truck would have hurt you more and would have offended you more, we'll kiss and hug and make up and everything will be fine. Amen? So you're going to give me grace. Amen? Amen. Grace is a good word. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, unto, which that word unto means about or towards, salvation. The Holy Scriptures make us wise about or unto salvation. Okay, so this is like my number two biggie. My responsibility as your pastor is to give you the unadulterated, real, genuine, sincere, and powerful Word of God. The way that the Lord gives it to me. The revelations He gives me, I give you. I'm not giving you Pastor so-and-so's revelations. I'm not giving you Brother so-and-so, Prophet so-and-so, Evangelist so-and-so. I'm not giving you their revelations. I'm giving you things that the Lord has put in my heart. I minister to you from my heart. And I always will. I'm not up here trying to do intellectual calisthenics. I'm not trying to wow you with my terminology and show you all of my great language skills. I'm not trying to impress you with my hair. I'm not trying. There's nothing about, for those of you that have known me a long time, there's nothing about me that has anything to do with that. I just want to love you. And I want to put the Word of God in your heart, in your life, in your mind to the point to where when things come against you, when the attacks come, and they will, And they will, if you think you're going to get to that place in Christianity where you're above all the problems in life, then I would like to introduce you to a man named Jesus Christ, who should have been above all the problems in life, and he basically went from place to place all the time dealing with people who didn't really like him a whole lot. In fact, the more godly you are, the more likely you are to stir up the anger, the angst, the problems with people around you. If you don't have any problems in your life, it's probably because you and the devil are on the same trail, headed the same direction. Oh, moving right along. The Word of God is able to make you operate in the depths of salvation that was intended for you to operate in. So that is why I come up here, and you guys know this. I come up here with dozens and dozens of scriptures. It flows from me. And it's not because I'm really cool guy knowing the Bible and all that. Because I believe that the Bible is so powerful, is so strong, that it is able to minister salvation to you in any area that you need it. And so I'm going to give you the Word of God. It's going to come out of my mouth. It's not going to be the gospel of Steve Castle. It's going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is grace and truth. I'm going to minister that word. Hold me accountable. I love it when somebody comes up to me after a service and says, hey, you said this. This scripture says this. What do I do? Awesome. Good question. I didn't get to that in my sermon, but I'd love to tell you what the balance is because I want you balanced. I don't want you in this ditch, and I don't want you in this ditch. I want you on the road. Amen? I love it. As a teacher, I love it when people come to me with questions. I love answering questions. Hold me accountable. All right, Steve, you're preaching good to yourself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine, a lot of people have a negative feeling towards doctrine, but the word doctrine just means that the knowledge of the truths that you've learned about God. Doctrine is actually a positive word. It's when your doctrines supplant your relationship is when doctrine becomes evil. We don't know the doctrines of God so that we can have a relationship through the doctrines of God. We have a relationship with God, and then He tells us about the doctrines in that relationship. Amen? Does that make sense? If I would have came to Kay and gotten married to her because I wanted children, not because I wanted a wife, you got me here? Are we on the same? You know, the thing, always, you can always look at the Scriptures and find out the truth as if you boil it back down to God is love. And God is a relationship God. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. It's good profit. Is profitable for doctrine, for the knowledge of the truths of God, for reproof. The word reproof means evidence. That's really important. I'm not going to preach on that, but evidence is something that a lot of the world looks for. Well, tell me about the evidence. You know what? I've got a whole book of evidence. Amen. And there's no other book that's been more indisputed than since the beginning of time. Anyway, for correction, okay, now correction, let me tell you about this word. This correction is a compound Greek word that means straighten. Amen. Some y'all hanging on the second word, right? It means straighten to fit. It's kind of an action word where it says like, like if a carpenter was building a table and he cut a groove out to place another piece of wood, and the piece of wood doesn't fit because it was cut the wrong size or it was the wrong shape or whatever, he would sand it or he would carve it until it fit perfectly, or he would straighten it so that it fit where it was supposed to fit so that it was a perfect mesh. So correction actually means to straighten out. In other words, it doesn't mean to totally thrash a person. It doesn't mean, it should actually not cause any damage. If you're trying to straighten something so that it fits in and creates something beautiful and strong and sturdy, you specifically don't want to damage it. Does that make sense? If somebody is correcting another person because they're exerting authority, because I'm the man and you need to bow your knee, and I grew up in an environment like that, in a spiritual cult that was, I'm the man, I'm the leader of the house, and you need to submit, woman. I heard that. As a kid, I remember hearing that. And I remember thinking, that's not right. And I was a stupid kid. I remember thinking, that's not right. That's not right. That's not correction. Correction is, I want you to have an amazing opportunity at living a way that you've never lived before. Let me help you fit. Let me straighten out the things that are out of place because you can't see them because you're the piece. And I'm standing above you and I can see the crookedness. I can see the edges. You can't see them because you're it. You know, you don't know what's going on. You don't even know what your face looks like. You know what a mirror tells you your face looks like. You know what a picture tells you your face looks like. And you know what your phone tells you your face looks like. But you don't know what your face looks like. You have never laid eyes on your face. I see your face. I can tell you what your face looks like. If there's something a mess, I can say, hey, you just cried and the stuff's all, you know, a mess. Here, let's wipe that. Oh, I didn't know. I corrected you. And it didn't hurt. Now, if you're so bad, whacked, out of shape that you need to get pressed and you need to get wet, and you know, if you want to straighten a board, you know, you wet it and you put it underneath weight, and then you wet it and you put it underneath weight, and then sooner or later it straightens out. You know, if you want that board to be straight but you don't want to break it, that's how you do it. You do it slowly and you do it a little at a time. So if there's things that are massively whacked out about your life, and I know that there's some people that are dealing with big stuff. We're not going to fix that tonight. We're going to fix that a little tonight. So hang out. If you got big problems, I got a big God. But you got to be willing to bend a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. If you ever get to the point where you can't bend no more, you won't be straightened out. It says Proverbs is full of wisdom about correction. A person that will not be corrected is a person, it actually says in Proverbs, is a person that will go to hell. If you cannot be corrected, you will go to hell. Because God wants you to fit. God created you in a certain design, and through life and through sin, we got out of design, and so He wants to put us back into design, which is therefore the purpose of the new birth. So that you could be birthed back into what you were supposed to be. Because we were so bad out of whack, that basically God had to kill you. Amen. Thank God for that. Woohoo! Amen for the death. Because the birth came after the death. Thank God for the new birth. Amen. Praise God. So there's correction. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. And for instruction in righteousness. Man, that's really important. There's a lot of people that I've seen in the body of Christ that are really good at the correcting part, that are really good at the exerting authority part, that are really good at the submitting part, but then instructing somebody in their righteousness, and their remember what the definition of righteousness is, that you have been given a complete and total verdict of absolute innocence after a thorough investigation. You know, usually when people correct people, you say, well, you're broken, you're bad, you're out of shape, you're a mess. No, really, if you're correcting somebody, you're telling them, look, you're out of whack as to what you were created to be. What you were created to be was beautiful, perfect, awesome, righteous, completely innocent. Somehow you got off track. Let's put you back to what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be operating from righteousness. You're not there. So real, genuine correction should be followed up with instruction in righteousness. I want to instruct you so that you understand how innocent you are in the eyes of God. If I'm doing my job. If I'm being held accountable, hold me accountable. That the man or woman, the mankind of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect actually means complete, and then the word thoroughly actually means perfected. So that the person of God can be complete and then perfectedly furnished unto all good works. So if I am doing my job and I'm being held accountable, then what I am telling you is that you are complete in Him. And that you need to understand how complete you are so that you can perfect that completion in your mind so that you can have the usable tools that you need to operate in all good works. And the word good in the Bible could be interchanged with God all the time. So you could actually be thoroughly furnished, completely perfected, and operating in God's works. You know, that's what we were rebirthed for. Before we were birthed, we were operating in all the works of this life, the works of this world. When we were rebirthed, we had opportunity to work the works of God in our own lives and in lives of people around us. Because now God's our daddy. And daddy's kids look just like daddy. Amen? All right. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. I'm going to get into real, like, pastoral shepherd stuff. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He's not going to feed his flock like a hunter. Anybody got that? You know, when a hunter's feeding something, it's because he's drawing them in for the kill, right? He's not feeding his flock like a hunter. He's not feeding his flock like a cafeteria worker. He's not feeding his flock like a Waffle House waitress. He's not, we can do this all night. My job is to feed you like a shepherd. You know, a shepherd cares about their sheep. I study shepherd stuff all the time because I'm a shepherd. And it's just, it's so cool, all the neat comparisons. And I read sites, specifically I read sites that are not Christian sites. Because I don't want some Christian saying, oh, hey, you know, sheep are, if you pluck them the right way, they grow an extra leg or something like that. It's cool spiritual. No, I read it from the world's point of view because I want the truth. Christians are so quick to manipulate facts. And so I don't want the manipulated facts. I want the truth. And I read them from non-Christian websites. And I find out so many things about sheep, about shepherds, especially back in the day. And I'm just like, man, that is totally, that's why Jesus talked all the time about shepherding. That's why the Bible's full of shepherd stuff, because people are like sheep. And ministers are supposed to be like shepherds. And sometimes we're not. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms. Anybody know that they've ever seen a lamb and a sheep? Right. 24 months or younger is a lamb. So he takes the young ones in his arms and holds them. So if you're young in the Lord, my responsibility is to take you in my arms and pick you up and hold you if necessary. Okay? I'm okay with that. If you're okay with that. I'm okay with that. Now, when you get a little, when you're over 24 months, so to say, obviously that's not a number designed by God, but when you get to a certain point, there might be times I'm going to come to you and say, all right, I'm totally not going to pick you up because you're fat. So you need to kind of walk this one out, okay? I'm going to take you over to the good pasture, and I'm going to show you where the nice clean water is, but I'm not going to carry you over there. Does that make sense? Okay, so a good shepherd, though, will carry the lambs and then lead the sheep. How do you lead? I go where you're supposed to go. You know, I don't say, hey, you know what? Y'all go over there and fight that wolf. I'll be over here behind the gate. Let me know how it turns out. Ooh, that was gross. I'm not going to tell you to go. I'm not. Whoa, that was country. Little Texas slipped out there. Sorry. You guys. Okay. So, I'm not going to tell you guys that. Yeah, see? I'm not going to tell you guys to go somewhere that I haven't gone, or I won't go with you. How many, you? There's a bunch of folks in here I've ministered to on a very, very personal level. How many of you have I said, let's do this together? I'll go right with you. We'll do this together. I'm not leaving you. I was changed by a God who promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. Hold me accountable. Hold me accountable. He shall gather his flock in his, like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. That's heart. That word in the King James is heart. I'm supposed to carry you in my heart. Give me the chance. Give me the chance. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. This is saying that a shepherd cares about you and your family. And most likely, if you've been around me any length of time, I am that way. It's about you, but it's also about your family. Because you came as a group. Whether just one of you came or not, it's the whole thing. You don't get onesie-twosies. You get families. God is a family God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who had a bunch of children. God's a family God. I am going to be concerned with your family. I will ask you about your children. I will ask you about your nieces and nephews. I will ask you about your parents. I will ask you about your grandparents. I will ask you about that weird, distant uncle who nobody else asks you about. God gave us a promise that if we come to the Lord, that our families will be affected by that same salvation. That's a promise. And I think as a shepherd, it's my responsibility to find out what's going on. I will ask you. If you're offended by that, then you need to go back and point to Scripture and just give me grace. Because I'm going to find out. Because they're important. You know, one of the blessings that I have in my life is that my family are believers. And I'm not just talking about Hannah, Gunner, and Kay. I'm talking about our extended families. They're either believers or they're forced into some kind of Christianity when they're around us. We just went through the holidays. We went to 5 or 6 Thanksgivings, 3 or 4 Christmases, all these places, not one person got in a fight, not one person got cussed out, not one person. And then some of these gatherings, there were multiple dozens, 50 people. And I can guarantee you that when Kay and I got together, it was not that way. There would be cuss out, there'd be fist fights, there'd be stuff being thrown, there'd be, oh dear Jesus. One of the first things that God ever told me after I got born again was heal the family. And I said, have you met my family? Amen. I'm going to ask you about your family. Your family is not beyond salvation. All right, now we need to make sure that this is... Your family is not beyond the power of the cross. And we will. We will get them. Because love never fails. Praise God. That should encourage you. All right, so hold me accountable. You need to ask me about asking you about your uncle. And if I don't know him, you need to introduce me. I'll meet you later. Jeremiah 23:1-4. Woe be unto the pastors. And here's a woe be. Anybody know what a woe be? When God says woe, he ain't talking to a horse. All right now. When God says woe, he means it. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. His pasture, his sheep. Y'all don't belong to me. He has given me the opportunity to be a steward for the kingdom of God and minister to you. It is one of the greatest honors of my life that God has brought people into my life that he thinks me worthy enough, me capable enough to minister the truths about who he is to them. Woe be. And I'm telling you, this is something that weighs on me every day of my life. Every single day, I ask the Lord, am I treating everybody right? Am I loving them appropriately? Am I not giving them too much that they can hang themselves, but not letting them get too far out there that they can't? Am I too much? Am I too little? Lord, help me, help me, help me. That is my number one prayer almost all day long, every day, when I pray and I think about your faces and think about what's going on in your lives and all the situations. This is exactly what goes through my heart. Should I do more? Should I do less? What should I do? Because it's woe be unto me if I hurt you. Now here's the thing. I might. It might happen. I might hurt you. But I can promise you this, it would never be intentional. And I will repent. But I gotta know. I gotta know. I got to know that something I did, something I said hurt you. I can't. If I don't know, I don't know. You got to give me the opportunity to be as close to you as I possibly can. If you're distant from me, it could be because of you. It could be because of me. The Scripture says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to your pastor, he'll draw nigh to you. I don't want to get all up in your beeswax and irritate you by trying to be all Christian in your world when you don't want to have a Christian world. But then I'm not going to let you get so far out there that I can't run over there and save the day. Amen? I don't know what that balance is sometimes. I might offend you. I'm sorry. I'm telling you right now, beforehand, I'm sorry. But I'm doing the best that I know. If you tell me more, I know more. Amen. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. You're not my sheep, but I have the right to love you, to take care of you, to feed you, to water you. All right. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. I'm going to visit y'all. I got scripture for it. I'm going to be at your house one day. Hey, what's going on up in okay. And have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. You know what this scripture says to me? Remember, I'm kind of preaching to me here. What this scripture says to me, if I treat y'all wrong, I have tied God's hands in my life. There, I have a personal dedication to treat you right, not only because of you, but because I will minister and be ministered to by God based upon how I understand His people to be. I can only love you with the love that I receive, right? I can only forgive you with the forgiveness. That's why the things of the kingdom of God work that way. For those of you that struggle with forgiveness, the reason you struggle with forgiveness is because you struggle with God forgiving you. If you would let God forgive you, then you could forgive people of all the things that they've done in your life. If you would let God love you, then it would be easy for you to love other people. But because you won't let God love you the way He wants to love you, you struggle with having other people. And so this scripture correlates to me how I am going to operate my life. If I really believe that God has done great things in my life, then I'm going to give you great things and then I'm going to get more things. But if I start to strangle and to hold down and to condemn and hurt people, then that's going to also cut the flow off this way. Things work this way with God. It works side by side with mankind and straight up with God every single time. If you stop the flow of one, you stop the flow of the both. You open the flow, you open the flow of both. Amen. That's why Jesus said, forgive, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive others. He shows the correlation in that prayer between up and sideways, vertical and horizontal. Amen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I'll visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I literally stand on this scripture. This is one of the promises. I believe that God's going to bring people into Beloved Church because I'm going to shepherd them the way that they were created to be shepherded. God's going to find people that have been scattered, that have been hurt by inappropriate ministers and inappropriate ministries trying to accomplish personal gain. And He's going to bring them in, and we're going to love them. And we're going to show them what a family looks like, and we're going to show them what a pastor is supposed to be. Hold me accountable. Hold me accountable. And they shall be fruitful and increase. This is for you. What's up, cowgirl? And then they shall be fruitful and increase. Do you see? One of the things you need to get here is in this verse. Your fruitfulness and your increase in your life is indicative of where you are pasturing. Like pasture, like eating grass pasture. Where your pasture is really important as to whether you have fruitfulness and increase in your life. If you're in the wrong pasture with the wrong pastor, you are going to hinder the flow of God in your life. Being in the right pasture with the right pastor is going to give you opportunity to have good things in your life. I'm preaching this to me. Remember, I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me because my responsibility is to be the guy that's got the good pasture and I'm a good pastor. Amen. That's a tongue twister. All right, verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. If the sheep are in fear, they got a bad shepherd. Here's one of the truths that about sheep. Sheep hate loud noises. Hate them. That's why dogs can corral sheep easily, because they just bark at them, run around, and the sheep get all freaked out and they go away from the bark. So that's why the herding dogs will bark and bark and bark and bark and bark. Because that's what they do. They bark, and then the animals that they're trying to herd, they respond to the barks and they go away from them because they're fearful of the loud noises. So here's the thing. Pastors should never be yelling at people. I said all that just to say that. Amen. So if I get a little bit fervent and I start yelling at y'all, hold me accountable. If I'm yelling at y'all, it's probably because of passion. I don't yell at folks because I'm mad at them. I yell at folks because I'm passionate. So if I'm yelling at you, it's probably because I'm passionate. So give me some grace. I'm not mad at you. I'm just passionate. And maybe you need a lot of straightening, so maybe I'm being loud about it because, amen? All right, one more. First Peter 5, we'll skip Acts, Greg. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. Feed the flock of God. This is Peter talking to the church, the New Testament church. Feed the flock. If there are hungry sheep, all right, I want you to get this. If you're being fed and you're healthy and you got everything you need, will you have to go to another field, to another pasture? You follow me? Okay. Now, there's a lot of pastors that get mad about people that bail and they go to other churches and they go get involved over there and then they end up having a great life. I'm not talking about the people that bail in this church and then they go over there and cause problems and then bail in that church and cause problems and bail. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people that end up bailing and go to another church and they end up having a great, awesome life. Either there's one of two things. Either A, they were in the wrong church to begin with and they got to the right church. And so then they were able to be fruitful. Okay? Or B, they weren't being fed and they were stinking hungry and they had to go eat. Come on now. And I'm a pastor. You know, pastors don't say these kind of things. We're the ones that, like, don't tell you about the dirty little secrets about, I'm telling you, because I want to be held accountable. If you all start seeing, like, an exodus in the ministry, I want you to come to me and say, hey, I don't think we're feeding folks. Because they're totally running off finding some other food. Amen? Amen? I mean, thank God I've never experienced that in my ministry, that there's ever been an exodus. We've had, like, onesie-twosies, and sometimes they just had things going on in their life that they didn't want to deal with. But we've never had an exodus. We're not going to. We're going to feed folks. Amen. And we're not going to say, well, eat your vitamins. No, we're going to say, hey, the grass is green. It's lush. You know, you might need to recognize that the grass is green. Maybe you're a little colorblind. We'll lay hands on you. Everything will be okay. We'll get you fixed up. But the grass is green. The water's good. It's fine. You can be here. Hold me accountable. Hold me accountable. Feed the flock. It's my responsibility. If you guys are hungry, my fault. You get that? If you're hungry, my fault. If you're hungry and not in the pasture, your fault. So you know what I'm going to do? Yell at you, Tegan. No. I'm going to go out of my pasture. I'm going to leave the 99 and go look for the one. And I'm going to find you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to put you in my arms. I'm going to carry you back to the pasture. And I'm going to set you down. Now, if you leave 60 or 80 times, at some point you're going to get out there. There's going to be a wolf waiting for you because he's nowhere as you're getting out. And I might not be there. And if he doesn't kill you, I'll come lay hands on you. We'll heal you, put you back in the pasture, and please stay this time. Amen? Feed the flock. If you're hungry, my fault. If you're hungry and you're not here, your fault. You got me? Okay, real important. Hold me accountable. Feed the flock of God which is among you. I can't feed you if you're not here. Praise God. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, nor of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I do this willingly. I'm not constrained to do this. Just like I told you that you should give from your heart, you should give for love, you should give because of the voice of God. I serve you because of love, because of the voice of Jesus, because of my heart toward you. It's the same thing. All the things of God that you give are under the same context. And willingly, I do this. I don't wake up every morning and say, oh, got to go shepherd the flock, bunch of dirty sheep. No, I wake up like, all right, what we got to do today? Who are we talking to? Where are we going? Where are we going to minister? Who wants some? You know, who's going to call a brother up? A lot of you have been to our house and just hung out with us. We're excited about what we're called to do. Really excited about what we're called to do because we're called to you. It's an honor to do that. Not for filthy lucre. If you think I'm rich, you have not been paying attention. I mean, I got to tell you, you just told somebody needs to lay hands on you special. Because we're believing God for groceries a lot of times. Amen. I'm not doing this for filthy lucre. In fact, if you walk up to me and you hand me lucre, most of the time I'll argue with you. Keep your lucre. You know, a bunch of you folks have done that, where you've handed me stuff and I said, no, we don't want it. You better take it. How dare you threaten your shepherd? I'll bawl all over you. But of a not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know what a ready mind means? You got a problem? I got an answer. I'm ready. He told Timothy, be instant in season and out. You know what that means? I got to always be ready for whatever. If I'm tired, if it's been a long weekend, doesn't matter. My responsibility to you is greater than whether I'm tired or not. Hold me accountable. You know what that means for you? When you have a problem, not if, when you have a problem, help me help you. Tell me about it. It shouldn't be a 3-week-old problem that you just finally come to me because you've been totally overcome by the problem and now it's so bad that you don't know what to do and you're going to fall down. Your fault. You should have came to me 3 weeks ago. Yeah, but you were busy that day. I'm busy every day. All right, let me get this out there so you know. I'm busy every day, but I'm busy for you. I'm busy every day, but I'm busy for you. And so if you show up and you need something, I will probably maneuver some things because of you. Because that's why I'm busy, is for you. I'm not out here building the kingdom of Steve Castle. I'm out here building your life, your family. You're the sheep. This is what I'm called to do. So if I'm too busy to minister to the people that God's called me to minister to, I'm just too busy. And I'm going to have to cut some things out of my life. And I've done that, and I will continue to do that if necessary. All right? So you all get that? You're going to hold me accountable? Can you do that? I know. You got to be nice about it. I was nice to y'all. So when you hold me accountable, don't come up to me and say, remember sermon on January the 2nd? January the 3rd. See, you corrected me already with a bad attitude. You guys are already... Hold me accountable. I'm asking you. You've never heard a sermon like this, I promise you. You've never heard anybody preach to you like this. But I'm this sincere. I'm this dedicated to try to accomplish this. I need your help. You're the sheep. You got to talk. Amen? If you eat some bad grass, let me know. Amen. We'll mow her down. Start over. You got that? All right. I'm going to pray for me. All right? And you all believe with me, okay? Make sure I get it right. Father, I come before you for me. I thank you that you have given me access and opportunity into all of these precious people's lives. How precious they are. They were so precious that you died for them. And I recognize that. Everybody in here is complete and perfect. They are totally innocent because of what you've done in their lives. Lord, I thank you that you've given them to me. Lord, I'm asking you now to be very diligent about speaking to me about keeping these truths forefront in my life, about holding me accountable to feed the flock, to minister the true word of God, to continue in the things of God, to be a shepherd that holds the lambs in his bosom and leads the families of the sheep to the still waters, to the green pastures, that loves them when they're supposed to be loved, that encourages when there's supposed to be encouragement, that corrects when there's supposed to be correction, that instruction in righteousness, that I do that when it's appropriate. Lord, I thank you that you are big enough to keep this promise and this truth from being hidden underneath the busyness of life and daily ministerial things. I thank you that you always keep these truths in the forefront of my memory, in the forefront of who I am, of what I'm called to accomplish. Lord, I thank you that you're also talking to the sheep, that you're asking them to give you an opportunity through me. Lord, I thank you that you are ministering to them right now what the truth is about who they are and about where they're going to be most successful and how they're going to be the most successful. And I thank you that only you can keep these promises and make this prayer come to pass. And so we are praying in faith. And we are praying together, these folks right here, believing God that this prayer that I'm praying about me is going to come to pass because we are praying in faith and we are praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, beloved, be gentle.